And welcome to another edition of Visions. With me, Yudeli Wickham Ashby. And today, I have as my very special guest, a young man, a young Barbadian with a disability, Mr. Rico Carrington. Welcome to the program, Rico.
Hey, thank you.
So, Rico, let me start by asking you to tell us a little about yourself. Who is Rico Carrington?
I'm just average young adult in Barbados, you know, seeing struggles, seeing problems, but yeah.
Okay. Can you share with us how you acquired your disability, or were you born with your disability?
Yeah, I wasn't born with it. I was in a coma when I was 11 years old, so it kind of, you know, setting back to square one, so I had to learn to walk and talk and do everything for myself again at 11.
Okay, so what was that experience like, having to relearn how to walk, how to speak, how to do technically everything? How did your mom cope with that?
I don't know how she coped with that. Me, I'm still learning how to cope with it, I guess. I'm getting better, but it's still a lot to digest, you know?
Okay. Mm-hmm. What would you say is or was one of your biggest challenges in adjusting to this new way of life?
A lot of my life dreams that I wanted to accomplish, yeah, because a lot of them I sadly won't be able to do anymore, but it's all right.
But share one or two of your life dreams that you think you will not be able to achieve now.
Well, I wanted to be a footballer.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't do it for multiple reasons. Being, I was left with my condition being that my cerebellum, that part of my brain that deals with balance and the nerves, is damaged permanently. So I have a shit. It just naturally shit. But
okay.
At times, it doesn't bother me. But, you know, I can't do certain things like running as a challenge. So it just shifted my career goals.
Okay. So in terms of going to school, because 11 years old is a critical juncture. That's when, you know, most children in Barbados are preparing to do the common entrance exam. Were you able to do that exam?
Yeah, my incident came when I was supposed to be going in first for Alexandra.
Okay. So then what was your school life like? Did you go to a private school? Were you homeschooled? Did you continue at the regular secondary school? What was it like for you?
All three, actually, in a sense. So, like, I went Alexandra, but eventually I switched schools and went to private school. And from there, I was doing, like, private lessons and, you know, the homework at home. And my gran will, like, help me study and give me mock quiz and, you know.
Okay, so let's look at that period where you would experience secondary school life, your teenage years. Did you feel that you were getting the best out of your education, or you wanted more, or you just didn't care?
Well, okay, so I cared a little bit, but part of me was like rebellious and like too mature for my age. So it's like, mentally, I already knew certain things and I understood certain things. So I was like, I don't see the need for school. I don't care. I'm not saying that school's bad. I just personally, my experiences at school, it was, I don't see the need for school. But I did do good in school when I have my CSEs, and but I personally don't like school.
Okay, I can understand that because I do know a few young people that tell me they don't see the need for school. They can learn otherwise. So, yeah. Understood. Now, how old are you, Rico?
I'm 22.
Okay, I'm going a very young 22. Man. So, what are your thoughts about your future? Is it scary?
Well, for me, yeah, because I have anxiety. So, thinking about the vast future, yeah, it's kind of, I wouldn't say scary. I'm more excited than scared. But there's always that doubt in the back of my mind, so I tend to catch anxiety attacks and stuff, and I think about certain stuff like that. So okay. I just go day by day, you know, just try to leave a footprint.
Okay. And I know you shared with me in a conversation prior to our discussion now that you like the videography, photography aspect. And you actually trained in that area with the Ministry of Youth Affairs. Tell us what that training was like for you. And have you been able to, you know, do any video recordings that we can see?
Yeah, it was fun. Like, I didn't know this at the time, but my mom loved photography and stuff like that. And she was always good with the computer. So I guess I just knew my second calling. I was like, yeah, I'm going to just do this, you know. And it was fun because I had her support on it. And it was something she loved to do. So we ended up bonding over it. It was very easy, you know. Once I put my mind to it, I would do my own personal research and try to figure things out by myself. I watch YouTube and, you know, I'll do that kind of stuff. So doing that along with the classes made it a whole lot easier and more fun. So, yeah, it was very eye-opening moment for me. And I do have videos and projects and what's not, but I took on a lot of stuff. And I just thought that it wasn't time for those to be out yet, because I believe that I'll feel when it's right to fully showcase my talent.
You mentioned earlier that you shape. So in terms of recording and taking photographs, was this problematic or were you able to do it without much difficulty?
Well, at first it was kind of stressful, but I'm very stubborn, so I refuse to give up. So I just learn how to be patient and know when is the right time to take the picture, like where my body is most calm part. I really can't explain it. I'm just good at it. Plus, too, like with tripods and certain equipments known to make it a lot easier, but I tend to like record freehand. It makes it feel less scripted and more like we're there, like while watching. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Nice. Wonderful. I'm glad to hear that. And I think that type of determination is necessary for many persons to achieve some of their goals and to show that there is a method, there is a technique, there are appliances and aids that can be used to really help us in achieving our goals. Yeah. So, yes. So what else do you do for hobbies? What are some of the things that relaxes you?
Food. I love food.
Are you a good cook?
Yeah, I am. Do I cook? I tend not to, but that's just a subconscious thing with me. I can cook, and it is edible, and it tastes very fine. But I don't know, I feel very uncomfortable in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what would prompt that discomfort?
Like I said, I'm aware that I do shit. So it's like, I tend to get anxious and I have really bad anxiety, so I just tend to stray away from things that trigger my anxiety.
Okay. So, Rico, I want to ask you, as a young Barbadian, you have your goals, you also have your disability, which is visible. So immediately persons on meeting you will see. What are your thoughts in relation to securing employment, or have you considered self-employment?
Well, that's a tricky question because Barbados is full of judgmental, grudgeful people, and no one wants to see anyone doing better than them, especially someone with a disability. So it's hard to get a job, you know, and it's frustrating, it really is. But I don't know, something will work out eventually.
Are you hopeful, though, about securing employment?
Yeah, there's something out there for me to do, and I'll try to be the best at whatever it is I'll be doing. But I believe that one day something's just gonna work out and show itself for me, and I'm gonna grab it and I'm gonna hold on to it.
Have you given any thought to the area of employment you would prefer to work in?
I have, but at this point, like I said, I'm going 23, and it's I got goals and things that I want to achieve by a certain age. It's frustrating not having a job, but I'll work something up. I'm a fighter, so yeah.
Rico, in moving around, is it challenging for you? Are the sidewalks and the roads, transport, very accessible to you?
Moving in general is a task, but I don't know. Some days I have my good days, some days I have my bad days. And it's I'm kind of learn how to counteract certain things when I'm walking. You know, it's something I have to live with, so I just learn how to improvise on it, you know?
No, Rico, as a young man, most young men are looking for romance. They're looking for partners. Anything happening on this side of your life? And there goes a big smile.
Yeah, there's someone that I'm currently interested in.
Yes.
We're just taking things slow, you know, step by step. But yeah, she's cool. I'm happy. Okay. It's good.
Mm-hmm. Were you doubtful that you would, you know, get involved and have a steady long-term relationship? Were you, you know, really nervous about it?
Oh, nah.
Okay.
I mean, I just shake. I'm only shaky. I'm still very much handsome and funny. So
yes.
I always knew that I'll find someone someday, or they'll find me.
Right. And would you like to have children, or is that not on your planning chart?
Well, right now I would love to have a kid, but I can't afford it. So it's nah. You know, I have to get my life further on track first.
Okay. Sounds like a man with a good plan. Now, Rico, I also want us to look a little at, you know, your relationship with your mom. And I know that you're living at home with your mother. And we have heard many stories of parents being overprotective. Would you say that this was your situation at any stage, or
yes,
that your mom was very okay?
Yes, very.
Okay. And how would you say you negotiated your way out of that overprotection?
It wasn't the right way, but we ended up talking. And I showed her, well, I'm pretty much a man at the end of the day. I'm not going to be here forever. You're not going to be here forever, even though I would love for that. you know. But is ARD accept death? Like, I guess since I've been so close to it, is like I'm not scared of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's like I told her at the end of the day, I have to learn how to survive alone.
Right.
So yeah, and she eventually got the picture after 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. That's a lot of years. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And you're satisfied with the relationship now where she sees you as a mature young adult?
Yeah.
Okay. Wonderful. Wonderful. Now, have you been able to really interact or meet many other young people with disabilities?
Well, outside of Barnard, no.
Okay. And just this recent encounter, how do you feel about it? How do you think society views the people with disabilities?
Well, the society is trash, honestly. But it is life and it is what it is, even though it may not be right. And I hope that one day, you know, they see us and accept us as we are, which is humans. But oh no, I guess society caught up with the social media where every perfect thing is tall, you know, 6'4", 250 pounds, like, you know, like some athlete. There's more to life than just the physical appearance, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I see it, is that we get judged before anyone gets to know us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. And how do you think that we as individuals with disabilities can help in changing that mindset that many persons have towards people with disabilities? Because I think that we also have a responsibility to help in educating the rest of society. Your view may be different.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we need to, like, come together more as one and, like, stand on how society makes us feel. I'm not inciting a riot, but, you know, like, I think we just need to make ourselves known more.
Mm-hmm. So how does society make you feel, Rico, as a young man with a disability?
Well, at first, it was very difficult. It was hard, like, very hard to make me feel very alone. But now, knowing that life still goes on and I have to survive, is like, I'm not bothered too much, but it still disgusts me, but is like, it doesn't affect me too much. I just stay for myself and do my own thing, you know.
Okay, cool. So yeah. Rico, as we get ready to wind up the Visions program, what would you say gives you strength to carry on in the face of adversity, in the face of the stigma that society places on people with disability and the discrimination as well?
Well, me personally, I have a lot of pride and self-belief that one day I will mean something. One day I'll make a valid statement on behalf of, like, being disabled. At the end of the day, no matter how you view me or pull me down or try to shut me out, is that one day I know I'm gonna be something great. So it's like I just keep landing back in my head. Plus to my mom, she's a very big part of my motivation. I just want her to be proud of me and see that I'm not a let no or a disappointment or anything, that I'm a son that she could be proud to just say that out in public, like, oh, that's my son, you know, like, yeah.
Wonderful. And I believe you will achieve that. So, again, Rico, what would you like to see your family or your community really do to help support people with disabilities?
Just stop discrimination and don't judge before you get to know them.
Well, I think that is an extremely positive note to end on. And I want to say thank you very much, Rico Carrington, for sharing with us some of your personal experiences in coping and living with your disability and some of the views you have regarding how society can enable people with disabilities to feel more adjusted within their communities. So let me say thanks again, and I look forward to seeing you in the future and learning about that positive impact that you will be making.
Hey, thank you very much. And pleasure is mine. And I look forward to seeing you also.
Thank you. You have been listening to Visions with me, Yudeli Wickham-Ashby, and my special guest today, Rico Carrington, a young Barbadian with a disability. Remember, you can reach out on 1-246-269-9660 or via STARCOM on 1-246-430-7300 and by email visionsbarbados@gmail.com. Remember, you can listen to this and past episodes by going to the podcast on VOB 92.9 FM. Thanks for listening. See you next week.